After the epic fight in Washington, money could be shifting among Republicans.
Balance your life with dollar signs. Tune in to Marketplace Money this weekend for a look at the issues affecting your wallet. Whether it's investing, renting an apartment, or sending your kid off to college, we'll help you navigate.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio here with the Marketplace Midday Update. Some major conservative campaign donors are reassessing where their money goes with the brinksmanship now over. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins us with, a brewing fight between establishment GOPers and the Tea Party?
Yeah. And David, the business community actually helped elect some of the Tea Party types who pushed to shut down the government and not raise the debt ceiling. And business groups had a lot at stake in that fight. They were really worried about financial instability. I talked with Scott Talbot about this. He's with the Financial Services Roundtable. And David, he says his group is going to look closely at how candidates voted on the shutdown and the debt ceiling when deciding who to support in next year's elections.
What is the candidate's position when it comes to funding the government? And what is the candidate's position on what the fiscal health of the U.S. should be and the steps they would take to achieve that?
So will a candidate's vote on the shutdown and debt ceiling become a litmus test for business groups?
Well, Scott Talbot wouldn't go that far, but clearly, David, it will be taken into account, which means the business community could be funding Tea Party opponents in GOP primaries next year. And Talbot also emphasized that his group will be giving to Democrats, too.
Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer in Washington. On to how coverage of the rigging of an important interest rate is becoming a freedom of the press dispute. British prosecutors have muzzled the Wall Street Journal's coverage of the LIBOR scandal. From London, Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
Next week, the British authorities are expected to name some of the traders implicated in the LIBOR scandal. But the Wall Street Journal jumped the gun. The paper published some of the names on its website. The Brits reacted furiously. The authorities here had a court order slapped on the journal. Stop publishing the story in Britain or see your European correspondent fined or even jailed. The UK has much tougher rules than the US about the reporting of criminal investigations. Even Adam Christie, a British Freedom of the Press campaigner, sympathises with the prosecutor.
I can understand why the prosecutors are being very careful about naming who they may or may not charge at this stage.
Some of the people named by the journal may not be charged and therefore, says Christie, may be unfairly tainted.
In this case, I think we have to be patient, and that's the key word, patient.
The Journal has removed the story from its website, but it says the British court order is a serious affront to press freedom. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
The San Francisco Bay Area transit strike today. If only thwarted commuters could walk down to a local place to set up their laptop and get the job done without the distractions of staying home. Well, there is a burgeoning industry for that globally, as Shannon Mullen reports.
James Cohane is one of more than 40 million Americans who work outside an office.
I'm consulting with a startup that's actually based down in New York.
Cohane recently moved to Boston, and at first he tried working from home.
There's a lot of distractions there, plus it's kind of depressing, and I'm infinitely more productive here than I am at home.
Here is a desk at Officio, one of a handful of new co-working sites in this city. Nima Yadalapur is a co-founder.
This is kind of our what we call our gallery space. A lot of natural light, tall ceilings, feels like an art gallery.
Yadalapur says Officio has 400 members, freelancers and other mobile workers who can rent a desk or a private office. They can buy a day pass for $30. The cheapest monthly membership costs $99.
Which gives you access to the space, gives you conference room hour, it gives you access to printers, everything. You can't get an office for that anywhere.
Officio clients range from freelance photographers to a guy who sells private jets. The co-working concept dates back to the late 90s, but that was before everyone had cell phones, laptops, and tablets. Now Wi-Fi is everywhere, too, and hundreds of co-working locations have opened around the country. Jeremy Neuner is CEO of Next Space, a small chain with sites in California that's expanding into the Midwest.
We believe our country, our society, our economy is on the cusp of a once-in-a-century shift in how, where, and why we work.
Neuner says co-working is more than just a post-recession fad among freelancers. A growing number of corporations are experimenting with workplace mobility. The global consulting firm Accenture lets employees use an app called Liquid Space to book co-working sites. Liquid Space CEO Mark Gilbreth.
The reality is that all people are different from a personality and a temperament and a work style standpoint. So the best way to get great work out of them is to allow them to find and choose the environment that best fits how they work.
And at some co-working sites, that environment comes with lots of perks you won't get at a regular office. Everything from free cappuccino to childcare. I'm Shannon Mullen for Marketplace.
Did the government shutdown rattle the U.S. economy to the point that the Federal Reserve will keep the stimulus going longer? That's one reason the head of America's central bank arguably holds the most powerful economic policy position in the world. Or does he? Last week, there was the cartoon in The New Yorker depicting the Fed chairman waiting for his dinner at home with Ben Bernanke is the title. I asked you, wonderful Marketplace listeners, to help read the caption, the voice from the kitchen that has the cartoon Bernanke looking scared.
And if you think that every time you open your mouth around here, everyone is going to dance to your tune, you've got another thing coming, Mr. Federal Reserve.
Good, right? And get ready for this one.
And if you think that every time you open your mouth around here, everyone's gonna dance to your tune, you got another thing coming, Mr. Federal Reserve!
Don't know his name. He said he was from Flatbush in Brooklyn. The president has nominated Bernanke's replacement, Janet Yellen, who is coincidentally from that same New York borough. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. It's the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.